Hi, Jan. Hope you're well. Good to meet you. Local Macclesfield lady.
Yes.
Born in Red Mac.
Well, no, I moved to Mac about, it's probably 40-odd years ago.
Oh, right. So, where are you from originally?
I'm from North Manchester, but I feel like a native of Mac.
You're 40 years here. So,
yeah, I think that qualifies me.
Fantastic. So this book that you've written then, it's called Part of the Family. But before we go into the book, tell us why you're talking to me today.
Well, because I've never written a book before, it came out in December of last year, and I kind of think that maybe people might want to read it, but they won't know about it unless I come on here and talk to you.
And it's also about the foster care fortnight that's happening at the moment as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, yes. Yeah. It's the same 2 weeks every year, pretty much. Foster care fortnight is about trying to recruit new carers, because we're really short of carers in this country by 10,000.
Really?
Yes, and places are desperately needed, especially now with asylum seekers adding to that list. And you know, anybody that's got a spare room that thinks they can do it probably can.
But some people might think, I'm not foster care. I'm not a foster care parent material.
You know,
maybe they're self-employed and they can't, you know, or they've got a job where they're out all the time. So
yeah.
What do they need to think about first, though?
Well, in a couple, one of you probably needs to not work because it's quite taxing. You know, you've got children who are maybe preschool, then children who perhaps finish school at 3 o'clock and the school holidays to consider. You've got meetings to attend. You've got training courses to attend, paperwork to do, school things to get involved with if you've got a long-term child. So you kind of need those resources. You need a spare room, of course. Children need their own room. But you don't really need experience. You don't need to own your own house. You don't need to have looked after children for a living or anything like that. You can be old, young, any colour, any creed, any anything, you know, as long as you've got the will and the ability to look after children, which probably most people have, and you've not got a criminal record for crimes against kids, then, you know, you probably qualify. And it's really, really rewarding. You know, what you get out of taking a child who's perhaps never been to the seaside, never been to the park or the cinema, and you take them and give them that experience, you know, to see the little faces light up, it's so rewarding to know you've made a difference. Even if you've only got them for a few weeks, you can still make a difference.
We were talking before we started the interview about some of the things that foster kids say to their carers.
Yeah.
I am assuming that the line that normally comes out is, "You're not my mum and dad. You can't tell me what to do." How would an adult like us deal with that sort of, you know?
Well, you're prepared and you're trained. So when you know a teenager spits in your face and tells you to. they do swear at you. You kind of take it on the chin because you know that's going to happen. You know that they're frustrated, they're angry, perhaps even at being in the care system. They want to be home, they want to be with the brothers and sisters. You're not letting them out at night to stand on street corners drinking cider like maybe they previously did. So you're going to get some flack, of course. But you're also going to get some rewards when they turn around maybe a couple of years down the line and thank you. When, you know, you gave them a clean bed and food and nice clothes and you took them on holiday and gave them the experiences that they would never have had. And actually, you can pat yourself on the back for that.
What you got to realise, what a lot of people have to realise, is that these children in care, in the care system, are human beings.
Yeah.
Like us. And we lash out when we are... when we're challenged and we're stressed, and you take it out on the people that care about you the most.
Absolutely.
Which you do that in a marriage, you do that with your own kids, with the kids, with their own parents.
Of course you do,
So it is perfectly normal.
Of course it is. And teenagers, you know, any teenager that's not been through the system can be a little ratbag.
I can tell you about mine,
ages.
But that's another day.
Exactly. Mine weren't always easy. But, you know, you take that on the chin because that's part of the job.
Yeah.
And you train for it, so, you know, it's all fine. And then you get little children that, you know, we had one little girl who was 6. She looked like a little princess, long blonde hair, blue twinkly eyes. And, you know, I took her to show her a bedroom and she went, "Oh, the sheets on the bed, I've got a bed." And she'd slept in the dog's bed.
And when you hear that,
that
breaks you. Yeah,
it does break you. And it makes you think, you know, even you've had some difficult kids, you have some lovely kids, and it makes you think, this is really worthwhile. You know, I am changing a child's life, even if it's for a few weeks. It might be for a few years, but you are making a difference.
That's just affected me, what you just said about that little girl. Right. Let's talk about this book, Part of the Family, then.
Yeah.
So who's written it? Who's behind it? What's it all about?
Well, I've written all of it. It came about because when I stopped fostering, when I retired a couple of years ago, I wanted to preserve the memories. I couldn't remember off the top of my head which child stayed when, what they said, what they did. And my kids were saying to me, oh, do you remember that child when we took them to Chester Zoo or wherever? And I thought, I need to preserve these memories. And I'd kept notes, because you're encouraged to do that as a foster carer. It's about safeguarding, really. But I'd made quite comprehensive notes, and I started to put them into some kind of order. And I read a part of it to a friend, Rania, and she said, oh, Jan, you need to turn this into a book. People might be interested. So a lot of it's funny, will make you laugh. Some of it will make you cry, and some of it will make you really angry because of the system and the way it works. You know, things like, you know, women who churn out child after child, even though each one is taken off them because of neglect or cruelty or, you know, something awful. But unlike you're cruel to an animal, you go to prison or you get fined or you're banned from keeping an animal, you're cruel to a child, you can have another. Which is quite shocking. So there's bits about that in the book. You know, the anger comes out, but also the sweet things that kids say and do and the funny things. You know, they've had us howling. You know, one little boy, we showed him to his room, one of the first kids we had, and he said, I don't think this is going to work, Jan. I said, why not? Tommy, who called Tommy. He wasn't. That's not his real name. I've changed the names. Why not, Tommy? He said, well, I'm going to be woken up every 2 minutes with people coming to the bathroom, aren't I? Because why is it in my room? And he didn't know about an ensuite. And I had to explain that this is your bathroom, Tommy, and nobody else can use it. Really? And then he came out with a load of expletives. Because, you know, those sorts of things to a child who's been kept in a room with a perhaps a soiled mattress in the corner and bare floorboards, you know, that those experiences, yeah, well, you can't buy that, can you? And you've got to write about them. I've got to make notes about those things because, you know, they affect you.
So does this book part of family go from your very first time as being a foster carer?
Yeah. They're not...
So your decision to go down that route and why and...
Yes.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
So,
Don't no spoilers from the book, by the way. Go and get the book and read it.
Yeah.
But tell us a bit why you did decide to go down that route.
Well, it was something I'd always wanted to be useful, I suppose, because my husband's a child abuse lawyer fighting for victims. And I used to see him every day doing a really worthwhile, important job where I was making curtains for a living. Right. And it was a bit frilly and vacuous, if I'm honest. And I longed to be useful. So I had a skiing accident in 2005 and I hurt my back very badly and ended up in a wheelchair for 12 months. And I couldn't go back to what I did. And I thought, you know, this, you've always got to look for the silver lining, I think. And that silver lining was I now could do something useful, and I decided to do fostering. I couldn't sit at a desk for a long time because of my back. I couldn't lift. I'm not very technically minded, and I thought, you know, fostering, this is the opportunity I've been waiting for, really. This has presented itself for a reason.
So where can they get the book from then, Part of the Family?
Amazon. It came out in December, and there are 22 five-star reviews already and one four-star review. And most of those from people I don't know. So it's been well received and I'm thrilled to bits with it. And it also documents the journey of how I got to be fostering. And then a chapter about my husband and his work and the awards he's received. He just won a Pride of Britain award last week for his work, which, you know, we're made up about, really, because part of that was because we fostered as well and because he's autistic. So, you know, a lot of hurdles have been overcome. So I just think if people read the book, maybe it will inspire people to foster. And that would be a great thing, whether they do it for the local authority or for a private agency. Matters not. If people are helping to house children who desperately need it, then that's a win-win, and I'd be chuffed. Whether they read the book or not, it's a bonus if they did.
And going back to people who want to, or are listening to this, thinking, do you know what, I think I could be a foster carer.
Mm.
But they've got their doubts and fears.
Yeah.
What's the support network like from the authorities?
It's patchy, have to say, to be honest. We did swap from local authority to an agency, but I think it depends on the individual social worker that you're allocated, as with any job. there are good ones and bad ones, you know. But you can always ask for support. Yes, there is a 24-hour line that you can ring, and, you know, if a child runs away in the middle of the night, that kind of thing, there's somebody you can turn to. You're not on your own. And, you know, if you're not sure, turn up, ask for the pack, ring the local authority, ask for the fostering pack, make inquiries, because you can stop at any time. The process is quite lengthy. I would say perhaps 6 months it used to be. I don't know about now. And that's the vetting process to make sure that, you know, it's robust enough to make sure that you're suitable to look after kids. But you can stop that at any time. You can get down the road and you've been to three or four meetings and then think, this isn't for me. Or this definitely is for me. This is something I can do.
Jan, let's do the big sell for your book then. So do your full name, do the full title of the book and where they can get it from.
Okay, it's by Jan Garsden, that's me. It's called Part of the Family, which all our children were part of our family. You can buy it on Amazon. I think it's £8.15. There's a Kindle edition and there will be an audio book that's in progress at the moment. I've not seen it in any bookshops, but I don't know what that's about. I think you've got to be famous to get in a bookshop. But yeah, it, just if a half a dozen people read this and think about fostering, then job done.
Fantastic. Jan, thank you for talking to us.
Thanks very much. Thank you for having me.